Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Every time we look into the history of the early Christian church, we are filled with amazement. What made those Christians so strong? What inspired them with so much brotherly love? What made them grow extraordinarily in number? The text of Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47 gives the answers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This account gives us a clear and graphic picture of the early Christian church. Four strong characteristics distinguished the church. The first characteristic, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles had learned from Jesus and received revelations from the Holy Spirit. Now they announce these teachings to the community of believers. The believers devoted themselves. They paid attention. They dedicated time and effort to absorb the teachings of the apostles. The main content of the teachings of the apostles centered on the gospel, that is, on the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a unique teaching in that it came from God and was clothed with the authority conferred on the apostles. Today the teachings of the Old Testament, the teachings of Jesus and the apostles are available for us in Holy Scripture. If the Christian church today is expected to succeed and individual Christians are expected to remain strong, then regular and devoted study of Scripture is essential. The question is, to what extent is this being done? The second strong characteristic that distinguished the early Christian church is dedication to fellowship. The believers joined together in corporate fellowship, in koinonia, in sharing, in participation in common things. Spending time together gives opportunity to receive God's word of grace and mercy and to worship the Lord. Coming together gives opportunity to share joys and sorrows, to give support and to receive support. How much do we value brotherly fellowship in our days? Isn't it the case that everybody is in a hurry, running after his or her own interests and ignoring the needs of others? Brotherly fellowship could make a big difference in the life of the church and individual people. Local Christian communities would do well in offering opportunities for fellowship. A third strong characteristic of the early church was the devotion to the breaking of bread. Although the expression, the breaking of bread, can be understood as an ordinary meal, it seems that in the present case, it refers to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Jesus broke bread when he instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion. So the expression comes from there. The early believers made frequent use of the sacrament of Holy Communion as a means by which the Lord Jesus Christ grants forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Through this meal, in which Jesus gives his body and blood, faith is strengthened and love is boosted up. There is strong evidence that the early Christians celebrated Holy Communion every time they gathered in divine service. Is the Christian Church today keen to do the same? A fourth characteristic that distinguished the early Christian Church was devotion to prayer. The Jews had liturgical-style prayers they memorized and recited, a practice continued in the Christian Church as the use of the Lord's Prayer shows. Throughout the Book of Acts, emphasis on the importance of prayer in church and Christian life is very much evident. God speaks to us in His Word. We speak back to God in prayer and praise. Jesus Himself prayed frequently and teaches us to pray. He promises to hear and to answer our prayers. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Again, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you." The apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer have been called the four pillars on which the church is built, on which it stands and grows. They are essential, vital, and irreplaceable. If one of them suffers or is neglected, the whole building is endangered. Is the Christian Church today faithful to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer? This question deserves a honest answer. As we continue to examine the early Christian Church, we are told that awe came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. God manifested His grace, mercy, and power using the apostles as His instruments to do many wonders and signs. Note that the power of performing miraculous deeds was not in the apostles, but in God. God performed the wonders through the apostles. There are only 12 wonders and signs recorded in the book of Acts over a period of about 32 years of history. Preaching was the main task of the apostles. Wonders and signs confirmed the veracity and divine origin of the message preached by the apostles. Today, the main task of the Christian Church remains the same: to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although God can perform wonders and signs in our days, and He certainly does, in recent decades there has been a superemphasis on miracles in some denominations. It seems that physical well-being and material prosperity is the great aim to achieve according to some preachers. Consequently, the proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Savior of body and soul of sinners has been overshadowed, if not neglected. What was everyday life of the early Christians like? The book of Acts tells us that all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. The picture is of a large community living at one place, all contributing to the same fund, and all drawing from the same fund. They had all things in common. It was a voluntary sharing to provide for those who did not have enough for the essentials of living. It was a voluntary act of sharing, not a forced imposition. The underlying principle was not "what is yours is mine," rather "what is mine is yours." The believers sold properties and shared the proceeds according to the needs. The writer of the book of Acts continues to tell about the early Christians. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice the movement of the believers from their homes to the temple and from the temple to their homes. Apparently, they had daily services in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus had called the temple "My Father's house," in which the children of God shall listen to the gospel and respond in worship. So the apostles emphasized maximum participation at the temple in Jerusalem. At home, the believers shared their bread and ate their meals. They certainly did not have the great variety of food and sophisticated appliances to prepare it as many of us have today. Their food must have been very simple. However, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. Oh yes, we tend to complain and grumble about food. This doesn't look good. That's not of my taste. We tend to be so selective, and in many cases so much food is wasted. The early Christians teach us to raise our eyes to the Provider, to God, from whom all blessings flow. We do well in acknowledging in each bite of food God's generosity. We do well in receiving with gladness and thanksgiving each portion of food placed before us. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. The fellowship, the oneness, the sharing, and the brotherly love of the Christian community did not pass unnoticed to the public. The believers had favor with all the people, we are told. The ordinary folk respected and admired the Christians. Their faith found expression in deeds, in the way they lived. They were taken as examples of a life worthy of praise. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is one of the most impressive statements in the book of Acts. God was at action. He gave growth to the church. He built His church. He added day by day new members to the church. The means by which God gave growth to His church were the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. By the same means, used properly, the Lord continues to act and desires to lead to faith in Jesus Christ many people.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
As we continue to read the book of Acts, our desire to exploring the next events becomes more and more intense. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, we read the following. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Devout Jews had developed patterns of prayer at specific times. The three stated times of prayer for later Judaism were mid-morning, 9 a.m., the time of the evening sacrifice, 3 p.m., and sunset. So the apostles Peter and John went to the temple for prayer at 3 p.m., along with many others. Among the crowds on their way to the temple happened to be a man lame from birth. He was being carried. In those days, wheelchairs and scooters were unthinkable. Consequently, the lame man depended on family members or friends to be moved from one place to another. Furthermore, the disability prevented the man to have a job and to earn his daily bread by work. What could he possibly do? He spent day after day at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those entering the temple. You see, there was a lame man begging at the Beautiful Gate. What a contrast! A crippled beggar and a beautiful gate. The so-called Beautiful Gate was the favorite entrance to the temple court, probably the bronze-sheeted gate that is elsewhere called the Nicanor Gate. Apparently, it led from the court of the Gentiles to the court of the women, on the east wall of the temple proper. The lame man, probably struggling to find a place among other beggars and trying to get the attention of passers-by, managed to ask alms from Peter and John as they entered the temple. Peter and John did not turn a blind eye to the beggar. On the contrary, they gazed at him and said, "Look at us." The fact that somebody paid attention to him and engaged in conversation must have been a rare experience for the beggar. He hoped to receive money from the apostles. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The beggar expected one thing, and he got something else, which he never dreamed to receive. The apostles didn't have money to give, but something much more important and vital. Peter ordered, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Not by the power of their own, but by the authority of Jesus Christ, Peter healed the crippled man. Very much appropriate at this point are the words of ancient Ambrose: "Peter gave not money, but he gave health." How much better it is to have health without money than money without health. The Apostle Peter established close connection with the man, took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. The gesture of taking the hand conveyed support, power, closeness, love, healing. Apart from giving support, a physical contact, like taking a person by the hand, can be very comforting. This is particularly true for people who are ill, laying in bed, or confined to a chair. When the man realized he was well, his reaction could not be any other than leaping up, standing, and walking. It was the first time in life he was able to do that. What an experience! Healed and overjoyed, he entered the temple with Peter and John, walking and leaping and praising God. Amazing! This man set the best example for all who received the gifts from God. healing of body, healing of soul. The man was well known to all attending the temple. They recognized him as the former lame man, now up on his sound feet and legs. Everyone was filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This wonder had a special effect on the early church and caused wide repercussion on the Jewish population. As a result of the wonder, this becomes the first time the apostles are warned and asked to shut up. This wonder caused the people to recognize that the preaching of the apostles, simple fishermen of Galilee, was a threat, according to their view, to the existing religion. With this wonder begins the struggle of the church against her opponents. I would strongly advise you to study Holy Scriptures. Seek a Christian church that is faithful to Jesus' teachings. Join in divine services, in Bible studies. Engage in fellowship. Pray to God. In doing so, God will unfold to you His immense love in Christ Jesus, and He will do wonders and signs in your life.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.